Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 53. Psalm chapter 53. I appreciate the encouraging text that I received this afternoon concerning this morning's service. I have no, if God don't give me something to preach, I got nothing. I don't know how to do it any other way. Amen. And I mean, I left here this morning knowing that I had obeyed the Lord. And I appreciate so very much His Word. And you always need to remember, I've told you this before, before I bring anything to this pulpit, God's probably already knocked me out of my chair, down on my knees. Amen. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that's trying to feed you something that he won't eat himself. Amen. We all need God's Word, don't we? Amen. We do. Thank you for being here. Let's stand and reverence the Word of God tonight. It's just six verses, Psalm 53, if you're able. A good crowd on Sunday night, and I mean that. A lot of churches don't give up on Sunday night altogether. But thank you for being here tonight. And I believe that not just your body's here, but I believe your heart's here. Amen. And I thank God for that. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 53, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Boy, did you ever wonder, the roses are fixing to bloom, Brother Doyle. The flowers, the lilies are fixing to bloom. Did you ever wonder how anybody could watch the squirrels and the rabbits and look at the mountain in the valleys, look at the flowers, and say there is no God? You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean, what you're trying to say. How about this? The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Amen. How could you look up at the stars and say there is no God? How could you even look at the sun or the moon and say that there is no God? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Paul uses some of this language in the book of Romans, doesn't he? He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He said, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. You can be seated. Let's pray together a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege once again. Lord, there's a lot of things in the church we might do too much of. But Lord, we'll never talk to you too much. We'll never pray to you too much. We'll never trust you too much. God, there's situations tonight that we're praying about as a church family, that are completely out of our control. But God, they're not out of your control. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would enter into the burdens of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help them to bear those burdens, our Father, that they're bearing tonight. Help us, Lord, to look forward to heaven. Help us to look forward to that place, Lord, where, Lord, you'll wipe all tears away from our eyes. Lord, we'll never weep again. Our hearts will never break again. But until that day, Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. I pray, God, you'll lead, God, direct in the service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me show you a little outline real quick. I love it when the Bible outlines itself. In verse number 1, you see the fool. See that right there? Now, when a person plays the fool, what happens next? Look in verse number 3. They become filthy. You see the fool, and then you see the filth. And then if you go down in verse number 5, you see the fear. Isn't that something? You see, God's people don't have to be afraid to die. Amen. That's why we can rejoice in that song, Sheltered. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Amen. Sheltered, safe within the arms of God. I guess if I was going to title the message tonight, with this is another one of those psalms where it says maskel or instruction. This would be instruction concerning the fool. That's what I believe is being addressed in Psalm chapter number 53. Let me show you something tonight that I didn't realize. Let me see if I can find it. I thought I had it marked. I want you to go to Psalm 14. I didn't realize this. Maybe you did. And I've read the Psalms over and over, but I didn't realize this. The Bible said in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. That's just a little bit different right there, amen? But has anybody picked up on, I mean, it's almost repeated verbatim. If God says anything once, that's enough, amen? But God's repeated this about the fool. He said, you have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. I just wanted you to see how that God repeated that psalm in Psalm chapter 53. And then, as we said a moment ago, Paul, the apostle, has repeated much of this in the book of Romans as he's teaching us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to make this statement tonight. I didn't plan on saying this, but when the Bible talks about filth, I don't know about you, but when God saved me, that would be a good description of how I felt when the Spirit of God convicted me that night. I felt filthy. I mean dirty and filthy and rotten, amen, and unworthy of what God was about to do in my life. But I'm glad, amen, that he could turn that around, aren't you? I'm glad for the precious blood of Jesus, amen, that can wash us white as the driven snow, amen, and make us clean on the inside. Let me show you some things tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. I'll try not to be too long. But first of all, tonight, I'd like for you to go with me to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 26 tonight. We're looking at some instruction concerning the fool. I got interested in the first mention of the word fool in the Bible. And if I ask you tonight, would you know where that is found? Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 26. I don't know what I told you just a while ago, but I believe that's right. 1 Samuel chapter 26. If I ask you who that was said about first, would you know right off the bat? I wouldn't have, but I looked it up, and I just wanted to see where the first mention of that was. And it comes about in 1 Samuel chapter 26. And the Bible said, and the Ziphites came unto Saul of Gibeah. Y'all remember Saul, right? The king. They said, the children of Israel, God was their king. It was a theocracy. And they said, we want a king. In other words, a man to be king over us. We want to be like all the other nations of the earth. You know, that's kind of what's going on in America today. We're trying to make everything fit. Let me tell you something. Everything don't fit in a Christian nation. And that's how this nation was founded, amen, upon the Word of God. And everything don't fit. When it crosses the Bible, it don't fit, amen. Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakaliah. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to ask you to go home and read the entire chapter. But let's drop down tonight to verse number 17. And Saul knew David's voice. What it was, David had an opportunity in this chapter to take revenge or to avenge himself upon Saul. He got close enough to him to take his spear. There was another item in here. I can't remember. Let's just read it. Let's start in verse 17. And Saul knew David's voice, and he said, "Is this the voice of my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after thy servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go, serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. And then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." So the first time that it's mentioned in the Word of God, Saul is said of himself, he said, "I have played the fool." And I believe there's something important there. You say, "Pastor, what was going on with Saul?" You remember when the scripture said, David, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And you know what happened? Jealousy raised up in his life. And he thought, the only thing I can do is get rid of that young man. Amen. And he said he understands in this text that he's played the fool. And I'll be honest with you, the scripture tells us jealousy is as cruel as a grave. I believe that, don't you? So I think it's important. The Bible said the fool is set in his heart. I didn't say Saul was a fool, but Saul said of himself, "I have played the fool. I've acted foolishly in this matter with David." Now, I'm going to look at some things tonight, and I hope you'll just stay with me for a few moments and just look at some examples in the Scripture. And first of all, I want to go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, and I want to say this about the fool. The Scripture is going to teach us something that I think we need to learn and that we need to keep in our memory bank. Listen, the Bible said the fool is set in his heart, there is no God. But I want you to see what God says here in Matthew 5, chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Jesus said, this is all red letters, this is the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." How many studied the Sermon on the Mount enough to understand that the law of Jesus is tougher than the law of Moses? How many understand that? You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Okay, well, you remember there's a text, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, that's what the Old Testament said. But Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So there's people that say, "Well, we're not under the law." No, but I'm under Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm in Christ. Amen. And when he comes along, and the same thing's going to happen here. He said, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But," there's the word, "I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause." Do you see how Jesus' law is tougher even than the law of Moses? He said, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you'll be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You can do whatever you want to, but I'm not going to run around calling people a fool. Amen. I'm not going to do it. I can say, well, my son acted foolishly, or I acted foolishly, amen, or like Saul said, I played the fool, but I'm not going to call anybody a fool. I can read, amen. And I believe it's a dangerous thing, amen. And Jesus said, therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar, and you remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift at the altar, go thy way, first be set reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So that's something I wanted to bring out in the message tonight. Look with me at Luke chapter 12 for just a moment. We're talking about instruction concerning the fool. I believe tonight that we can learn from these things. Luke chapter number 12. I'll get there in just a moment. I didn't mark my Bible a while ago. I should have. But Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. And here's another. Listen, it's one thing that we shouldn't do is call people a fool. But there are people in the Bible that God said are fools. Now watch what I'm saying. The Bible said he spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Did y'all know there's a lot of I's in that text? Did you know that the middle letter in pride is I? Did you know that the middle letter in sin is I? And I'm going to tell you something right now. That big I will get every one of us in trouble. Amen. It needs to be about him, not about I. Amen. But watch this now. The Word of God said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Let me tell you something, beloved. People that's cheating and stealing and killing to get another dollar, when it comes time to leave this world, they're going to say, just like Saul did, I played the fool. I put all of my emphasis on the things of this world that are temporary. And I've not put my emphasis on the spiritual. I've not put my emphasis on my soul. And so, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, when God said, thou fool, that's what he meant. He said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, I've been thinking about that text, and I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen, there's a certain amount of what we have belongs to God. Amen. And if we don't give God what belongs to him, you know what we're doing? Read the book of Malachi. We're robbing God. That's exactly what we're doing. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart it's important to give God what belongs to him. I believe if you'll read and study over there about Achan, and when they went down there to Ai, Achan took the Babylonian garment. And listen, that was the things of the world. But he also took the gold and the silver, and he buried it in his tent. You know where that was supposed to be? That was supposed to be in the house of God. That's where it was supposed to be. Say amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, you can hear me well right here. Hear me well. I promise you, there's a lot of God's people got stuff buried at their house that belongs in this house. Amen. And the house of God. And it should never be that way. Our Lord will bless us if we'll mind him and not, beloved, get our eyes and our heart on the things of this world. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs. I know this is strong. I understand that. But God wants us to see some things, beloved, that will help us. You know, I'm not going to be a fool. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. But I tell you, if I'm not careful, I can act like one. Amen. 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 If I'm not careful, I can talk like one. And if I'm not careful, beloved, somebody else would say, he's foolish. And I hope and pray that I don't have to come to the end of my way and say, like Saul, I have played the fool. Look at Proverbs 26 and verse number 12 for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 12. The Bible said here, see thou a man wise in his own conceit. The Bible said there is more hope of a fool than of him. Now you say, Pastor, why did you bring that up? Here's what the New Testament said. The Bible said we need to take heed. We need to, not, the Bible said we don't need to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And so, beloved, listen, even though we're children of God, we've been washed in the blood and we're heaven bound, I'm telling you, beloved, we're acting foolish if we're deceiving ourselves and thinking that we're something that we're not. And he said there's more hope of a fool than of a man that's wise in his own conceit. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 20. Look at this scripture here. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 20. See thou a man that is hasty in his words? Let me ask you a question. I'm looking for a show of hands to go with mine. Have you ever spoke too fast, too soon, too much? Amen. Hasty. You say, what did James say? He said, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Isn't that what James said? Because that's a wise man. But the Bible said here, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Again, it says there's more hope of a fool than of him. So I'm not saying that we're a fool, but I'm saying when we spit them words out before we think about them, we're acting foolishly. Amen. And we're acting foolishly. And so the Bible's given us instruction concerning the fool. Watch this now. Let me give you just a couple things and I'm done. The fool has said in his heart, most people, you won't get them most. There are a few that will say, I'm an atheist. There are a few. Amen. But I say this to you. Let them get in a car wreck. Let everything come together in an intersection. And you're going to hear things like, oh my God. You're going to hear things like, God, help me. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? And the Word of God said here, the fool has said in his heart. Most of the time, the fool don't say it with his mouth, but he's saying it in his heart. You know what he thinks? He thinks it's my life, and he thinks I'll live it the way I want to, and he thinks there'll be no consequences. But, beloved, I'll tell you this tonight. I love what one preacher said. I don't know who it was original with. We can choose our sin, but you can't choose the consequences. Amen. And so the fool, he's not looking ahead. He's living for the now and now. And the Bible said, corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. I'm telling you, beloved, there's more lawlessness in our world right now than I believe there ever has been. Amen. There's no respect for authority. I used to preach to the men in prison and I'd tell them this. I'd say, men, if you'll go back in your life, you can probably trace your trouble back to a lack of respect for authority. You disrespected your mom. You disrespected your dad. Many of them grew up without a dad. That was the problem. You disrespected your mom. Then you disrespected the teacher. Then you disrespected the bus driver. Then you disrespected the principal in the school. And the first thing you know, you're in trouble with the law. And you disrespected the law. And you disrespected the judge. And you disrespected the jury. And you could watch them nodding their head up and down. Amen. In other words, there was no place of authority in their lives. Amen. I'm my own man. I'll do what I want to do. And I tell you, you can do that. The Bible said right here, that's what they did, abominable iniquity. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Now listen, a lot of people, here's what a lot of people think. They think God's looking down and he just can't wait to pick out what we're doing wrong. I'm going to disprove that to you tonight. I'm going to show you in the scripture, God is looking down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Turn to 2 Chronicles, please, chapter 16 and verse number 9. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 16 and verse number 9. If you have a Scofield Bible, that's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse number 9. Well, some of you wake up after a while, maybe you'll at least grin, amen, if you won't laugh out loud, amen. Look in verse number 9 of chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's he looking for? To show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him. That's what God's looking for. He wants to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Then he said this, Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. God wasn't looking for the fool. And he wasn't looking for the foolishness. He's looking for somebody that was who had a heart not to do their own thing, but to do the will of God. A heart to serve the Lord. That's what God's looking for. And God will bless that. He looked down from heaven upon the children of men. He's looking for somebody whose heart's perfect toward him. But there were none. There were not any. If there was any that did understand, that did seek God, every one of them has gone back. They're altogether become filthy. Let me just stop and say this tonight. On seeking God there, there's none, the Bible said, that seeketh after God. There's something here that we need to marry up. There's no discrepancies in the Bible. There's none that seeketh after God. That's true. But then why does the Bible say this? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. And I'll tell you, listen to me tonight. I believe that we can seek him, but we need to always remember this. He first seeks us. Until he seeks us, there's no seeking him. In other words, there's none that seeketh after God in the natural man. You understand what I mean? But aren't you glad the blessed Holy Ghost come by one day? Amen. And fingered around that heart and pricked that heart and convicted us of our sin. And then we begin to say, where are you, Jesus? I need help. Amen. That's what this is talking about. While he may be found. You say, when can he be found, preacher? I'll tell you, it's when he's dealing. I believe this. Listen to me carefully right here. I believe this. I believe sometimes the Spirit of God convicts a Christian of something that's going on in their life. And I've seen them get confused about whether they ever got saved or not. Are you listening to me? But I believe that conviction is so strong. Now listen to me. I'm going to make a statement. You may not agree with it, but I'm going to make a statement. This is what your pastor believes. I don't believe anybody ever gets saved until the Spirit of God deals with them. Amen? But secondly, I don't believe a saint of God gets right with God anytime they want to. I believe the Spirit of God deals with that child of God about what's going on in their life. And honey, what I'm saying is, when he's dealing with me, it's time to deal with him. Amen. When he's seeking me out, it's time to seek him out. Amen. I believe that in salvation, but I also believe that, Brother John, in sanctification. Amen. That God, we may go right along, but one day, thank God, he smites our heart and says, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Amen. And we can get right with God when he's dealing with us. Every one of them has gone back. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Again, marry this with another scripture. There's none that doeth good. I've had people say, well, he was a good man. And then I've heard people say, well, there's none that doeth good. Well, what about this? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You see, what you need to understand is the difference between the natural man without Christ and the spiritual man with Christ living in it. A spiritual man, a man that knows God, can do good. Jesus, the Bible said, went about doing good. That's what he did. That's how he lived his life. Amen. He said, I do always those things which please the Father. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. And we're to pattern our life after him. He said, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people. These are people that are against God's people. They eat up his people like they eat bread. They have not called upon God. Then were they in great fear. And I'll tell you, we talked about this in a message not too long ago. God said, I will mock when their fear cometh. I will laugh at their calamity. There's people today that's mocking God, mocking God's people, mocking the Word of God, and mocking the things of God. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. They're not going to be mocking long. There's going to be a fear come upon them. The Bible said there in the tribulation, they're going to run to the rocks and the mountains. They're going to cry out, fall on us. And hide us from the faith. You know how bad it's going to get? Let me tell you how bad it's going to get. They're going to want to die and can't die. You say, Pastor, is that in the Bible? You read it. It's right there in the book of Revelation. Amen. There's going to be fear like this world's never seen. They want nobody, Brother Doyle, be wearing a bumper sticker that says no fear. There'll be fear everywhere. Amen. Because the God of heaven, amen, is going to pour out his wrath on this wicked world. Amen. And we don't rejoice in that, but we believe the Bible. And we believe it's coming. Amen. We believe that God is righteous. He said, there'll be in great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. God finishes up the chapter by giving us a little contrast. It's different for God's people. There might be times when, like Saul, we played the fool or we acted foolishly. But God's people are not fools. We have it set in our heart, there is no God. Amen. We know there's a God. And we know his son, the Lord Jesus. And we know our God is coming. Amen. He's coming to take us home. How many is glad you come tonight to church? Let me tell you tonight, the fool is set in his heart. You say, Pastor, what would you do? I tell you what I'd do. I'd pray for that man. And I tell you this, the Bible said there is a sin unto death. And I do not say that you should pray for it. I believe some people have crossed the line that you can't get back across. Amen. I read a church sign. It's not been too long ago, Miss E. We were going down Carter's Valley. And listen to me. I'm not trying to throw you a curveball. But the sign said this: no one is too lost to be saved. That's what the sign said. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. Amen. You read your Bible, beloved. Amen. The Bible said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you read the book of Romans, and God said he'd turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. And I'm telling you, listen, God showed me this years ago in that text. God gave them up. He gave them up. You say, Pastor, do you believe somebody involved in that sin can get saved? Yes, I do. But when God gives them over, they're done. They'll never be saved. There ain't no use to pray about it. Amen. And I don't know who has been and who hasn't been. And I believe that's true not only of that sin, but of others as well. God get tired of dealing with somebody. Amen. I don't know this for sure, but I'll tell you, I felt in my heart the night that I got saved, that was it. Go out again and go to hell. That's the way I felt in my heart. I felt like God was saying, listen, boy, I've fooled with you and I've fooled with you and I've drawn you and I've drawn you and I'm done. You're going to have to make a decision tonight. So glad I stepped this way instead of going that way. Amen. One more time. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming.